to work with somebody in twos or threes, so just be aware of that. You're going to do a bit of the work yourself today. It's just discussion, so don't worry, you can chat with the person or persons nearest to you. Thank you. Up close and personal. Okay. If we can have our scripture reading up. I'm not going to read the account of the day of Pentecost, which you can all read in Acts chapter 2 and following on from there. I'm going to read from John's Gospel, and I'm staying within the theme of actually loving the world. And the passage I'm reading from starts in John 15 and moves into John, just the beginning of John 16. As you know, there's no chapter headings in the original texts. We've just put those in to help us be able to find places quickly. And what has just happened is that Jesus has been speaking about the real vine, the picture of the vine, and about abiding in him and about working together. And Jesus goes on then to talk about the world's hatred of himself, and also the fact that he's going to give a helper to the disciples when he goes into the Father's presence to fill the whole universe. He is sending them a helper. And we've been thinking about loving the world, and as we think about the world, we're aware both of the good world that God made. And many of those things still remain in the world. It's just good to be alive. The world is a good place in many ways. But also the fallen and broken world, which is in rebellion against God. And a world where actually Jesus came and his message was hated. And they sought to destroy him because of the challenge he brought. And he speaks to the disciples about what they may go on to experience, and indeed they did with time. Not the world accepting them and embracing them, but actually the world by and large rejecting their message and even seeking to destroy them. So in the section, John 15, starting from verse 18, it's called The World's Hatred, and Jesus speaks, "If the world hates you, just remember that it has hated me first. If you belong to the world, then the world would love you as its own. But I chose you from this world, and you do not belong to it, and that is why the world hates you. Remember that what I told you, slaves are not greater than their master. If people persecuted me, they will persecute you too. If you obey my teaching, they will obey yours too. But they will do all this to you because you are mine, for they do not know the one who sent me. They would not have been guilty of sin if I had not come and spoken to them. As it is, they no longer have any excuse for their sins. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. They would not have been guilty of sin if I had not done among them the things that no one else ever did. As it is, they have seen what I did, and they hate both me and my Father. This, however, was bound to happen, so that what is written in the law may come true. They hated me for no reason at all. The Helper will come, the Spirit who reveals the truth about God and who comes from the Father. I will send him to you from the Father, and he will about me, and you too will speak about me, because you have been with me from the very beginning. I have told you this so that you will not keep your faith." Don't know what the pitter patter is. That's interesting. Pitter patter. It's my heartbeat. See how that goes. It's not my tummy. You're listening, won't it? Batteries, is it? Well, you know, do you know what batteries are? There's loads in the office. If you can't find the world, and we need the PowerPoint up if that's okay, loving the world, thanks, actually means viewing all the resources that we have differently. And today, as it's Pentecost Sunday, I really want us to focus on the resource that we have of the Helper. And that's a really accurate translation of the name of the Holy Spirit. Okay, the Helper that Jesus sent to us. Last week, we focused on the material and the personal resources that we have in the earth that we've got access to. We have the foundation premise that Hillary said at the beginning of the service is that the earth belongs to God. Everything that comes from the earth, the world and the cosmos belongs to God. So all these battles and wars about earth and land and planetary space and minerals are all because of a misunderstanding that there is only one freeholder and we are stewards of the earth. But the earth belongs to God. And there are vast planetary resources, as we said last week, and we looked at the situation in the Congo and why much of the warfare continues there because of our desire to have mobile phones, MP3 players and laptops, and the need for various minerals that are extracted there, and why warfare, and particularly against women and girls in the form of sexual attack, is so real and apparent. There are resources available to us of planets and people. And having resources is not to be scoffed at. We have many resources as people. Money, homes, skills, gifting, relationships, healthcare, cars, and so on. And that actual idea of resource means that we are able to rise up again. When our batteries run out, we are able to recharge. We have many resources compared to others in the world. We are part of the wealthy world. And those resources give us access, they give us flexibility, they give us space. Each of us have come from homes today. They give us mobility and so on. We are greatly blessed, as we have said today. The resources we have unlock doors. They put food on plates. They enable us to offer hospitality to others, to clothe ourselves, to satisfy ourselves. So we don't scoff at them. We know money can't buy us love, but it can certainly ease our way through life. We know that we will have to make choices and that our choices will affect other people. So it's our choices to own things like mobile phones and MP3 players and other things that have an effect on other parts of the world. So we can't say we are not involved, we are. Today is Pentecost Sunday, and we're thinking about the resource that we have, which is not just a material resource, but actually a spiritual resource that we can draw upon, the Helper that Jesus has sent. And we have an inexhaustible resource of help in our lives individually and as a church. Inexhaustible. And it's managed and governed by the love and the holiness of God. So we have resources available. The question really is how we're using the resource that we have, the person of the Holy Spirit, and how as a church we're drawing on those resources. Now Jesus, as I said, spoke about the hostility that his disciples might face from the world. And we face relatively little hostility. We are not in the Middle East. We are not in Nigeria. There's many places where we're not present. We're here. Nevertheless, I believe that there is a hostility towards the true message of Jesus, even here in the UK. And if we really lived out what the teaching of Jesus is, some of which was spoken to us today, then actually we would inevitably, I believe, experience more hostility. I think it's because we often forget what our mission is. The world is described in the New Testament by Paul and Peter and John as actually hostile towards the message of Jesus Christ, that the world organizes itself on its own terms, its own wisdom and its own values without actually consulting God and listening to what God has said. But Jesus says, you're not on your own. You are not on your own. He sends the Holy Spirit to us. And that should be a great relief to us today. Great relief. We're not on our own. We have the companionship and the fellowship of other Christians, which if we don't make the most of, we're daft, basically. And they miss out and we miss out. There are great resources within the church. But also this tremendous comfort, the comforter, the helper, the one who walks alongside us, the paraclete, the advocate, the one who is with us all the time. And we need to get to know the Holy Spirit better. And we can't get to know the Father without knowing the Holy Spirit. We can't get to know the Son without knowing the Holy Spirit, because God is one. But we experience God through the work of the Spirit. Spoken of, the helper, as comforter, paraclete, it means a very personal thing. It's not just power. So the Holy Spirit is not like a giant battery or a great big generator. The Holy Spirit is the person, part of the Godhead, and the whole work of the kingdom of God is actually the work of the Holy Spirit in the earth. So when we're talking about the kingdom of God, we are talking about the person, the work of the Holy Spirit, not an impersonal power. Now, although that is so simple, I just keep repeating it, because people look for power experiences. They may, particularly because the day of Pentecost was particularly traumatic. It was traumatic. You know, there was a sound like a rushing wind. There were visuals which looked like flames or tongues of fire. It was dramatic. 3,000 people were converted that day and added to the church. It was dramatic. It was powerful. But there is a great danger that people simply think of the work of the Holy Spirit in terms of power. We're talking about the work of God, the work of the kingdom. So that the songs, which are songs about the peace of God, are incredibly important as well as the power of God. And it's the inner work of the Holy Spirit in my life and your life that will enable us to carry on our mission. And we have one mission in life, which is to go and make disciples and teach them to follow Jesus. That's our mission, clear and simple. It is to show the love of God to the world. And we're unpacking through the year just exactly what that love of God means. And the Holy Spirit enables us to carry out that mission of loving the world. God gives us his people, but he also gives us the helper. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, God's activity in the world is described as the activity of the Holy Spirit. So right at the beginning in creation, the Holy Spirit is active, and through all the accounts of God's working and relating to human beings is the activity of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is powerfully at work at the crucifixion as well, bringing about the victory of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is powerfully at work in the resurrection and the ascension, and the Holy Spirit is at work now in the church. The Holy Spirit did not just suddenly appear on the day of Pentecost. Hilary said, God was here in the world before humanity was ever created. The Holy Spirit is not just my personal helper, but also my enabler. The Holy Spirit cares about me, and that's very, very important. The Lord bless you. The Holy Spirit cares about me and cares about you. The Holy Spirit doesn't just use me. The Holy Spirit cares about me. But the Holy Spirit also calls for my attentiveness and my availability to be ready. And the problems of our busy lives is that we are rarely available to listen to what God wants us to do. Hence why coming for worship and for prayer are always terribly important. If we simply do not allow those spaces, those waitings upon God, then we just will not know our helper. and it is the Spirit who enables me to agape, to love the world in practice. Let me give you a few things, and then I'm going to ask you to do a little bit of sharing. The Spirit, the Helper, enables me and the church, including this church, in our mission. And so Jesus is very clear. He says you are to wait upon God until you receive the Holy Spirit, and then you will be my witnesses. And he goes wider and wider and wider, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth, into the world. You need my Holy Spirit. To be effective, we need the ongoing relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. That is also a reason why often we fail, because we're simply trying to do something with our own skills and gifting and resources, and we burn out very, very quickly. The task is given to the church in every generation to share the message of Jesus. So the Holy Spirit enables me. But also, we need to remember that we are a community of the Holy Spirit, that not one of us has all the giftings and the things that are needed. So we are a community of people, men and women, brothers and sisters, a community of the Holy Spirit. And that as we gather, the Holy Spirit makes us aware that he is there. And we are called to live our life in the Spirit, not according to human passions, human values, human drives. We are called to live and be a community of the Spirit. So God seeks worshippers, and the whole of life is worship, not just singing songs. Fun as that is, delightful as that is, but it is praying, it is working, it is labouring, and all these things. We're called to be a community of the Spirit, and you can read in Romans and Corinthians and Galatians about the work of the Spirit and how the Holy Spirit will bring fruit into our lives, the things that are so important: love and joy and peace and patience and goodness and meekness, not for us alone, but for the world as well. Patience is not just for me, it's to show to the world. Joy is not just for me, it's to share with the world. Love is not just for me, but it's for the world. So we're a community of God's Spirit, and we should see evidence of the Spirit in our lives and the lives of others. And it's encouraging when we do that. So when Josephine shares, sorry to jump on her. Where have you gone? Where are you, my sister? When Josephine shares, it gives her joy, but it also gives us joy. And when somebody shares something of pain, we also weep with that person in the Spirit as well. We're a community of the Spirit. And also, as we've been saying over several weeks, the Spirit enables us to be people and communities of prayer. It is terribly important to meet regularly with others and pray, whether it's two or three or one person or many people. It's incredibly important to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to other people and to adapt our prayers according to how the Spirit is moving the community. Loving the world means praying for the world and the kingdom to come. We've said that very clearly. The Spirit enables us to pray for all people. So we've talked about rich and poor and everyone in between, the powerful and the influential. We said how difficult that is, but why we need to. But also to pray for the planet. Loving the world is not just about people. We're going to spend quite a lot of time in that in the weeks ahead, about actually loving the planet in which we live. And we live in a very unloved world that we have really tried our damnedest to destroy. We show films more often about the beauty of nature than the destruction of nature. We see the great sea creatures of the world, Leviathan, that is God's pet, that he tickles the tummy of in the oceans. And we not so often show the terrible downside. So loving the world means loving and praying for the planet and working for it as well. Okay, here's your bit of work before we look at the therefore bit, the what do we do. How does the Spirit help me? How does the Spirit help us? And again, I want you, you know I'm quite tough on this, to talk in ordinary English. I'd like you to talk with one person or two at the most and give me one very, shouldn't be more than a sentence. The Helper, the Holy Spirit helps me, and just one thing, okay? So you've got a couple of minutes to chat with someone. It's you, okay? You can just put your hand up like that, just so we don't repeat it, because we're limited time. Okay, I'm going to ask the hardest working mums, how does the Holy Spirit help you?
He gives us hope. Please.
No, you can't have more than one. He gives us hope. Anybody else say that? All right, you're all on your own. I put it down as well. How does the Holy Spirit help you?
He teaches us.
He teaches us. Thank you for keeping it nice and simple, Jim.
For me, it's like if I'm in an awkward situation, it gives me the strength to challenge something.
Anybody else get that one? The strength to speak out and to challenge something, okay?
Wisdom to understand situations.
Okay.
True or false? Acceptance of our prayers.
Answers your prayers. Okay.
It gives me peace in time of trouble at work.
Okay, you can hear that.
Helps my judgmental self. Opens my eyes. The Holy Spirit opens my eyes to see, how not to judge somebody based on what they've done, because then it's very easy for me to do the same thing, and it's just something that happens to me regularly.
Thank you.
He calms me down.
Okay. I'm just letting all this testimony, because this is personal, isn't it? And it's very, very real.
It gives me the spirit of boldness.
Boldness to boldly go. So, would you like to say anything? You okay?
Patience. It gives me patience.
Patience, a fruit of the Spirit. Jane, anything?
Guidance.
Guidance. Okay, back row, boys.
For me, it was support.
That's a nice one, isn't it? Support. That'd be brilliant. You can tell me later how he does that, because it's really good.
He guides my steps.
He guides me.
It makes me realise I can't do nothing by myself.
Okay. Do you want to add anything, David?
Help.
Help. All right, sisters. Anybody on this row?
Prayers.
Comforter.
Comforter. Denise, anything, love?
Comforter.
Say that again.
Comforter.
Another comforter. I think we need double comfort. Lovely. Rosie, not allowed to call you that. Only Bernie calls you Rosie. Once told me that.
When I get anxious or worried, which I do quite a lot, the Holy Spirit will often remind me of a Bible verse or a hymn verse that speaks to that.
Excellent. Tell?
Get through the day.
Just to get through the day. Okay.
Helper.
Helper.
He gives me wisdom.
He gives him wisdom. Very good. Not just a toothbrush. Is wisdom. Thank you, Ronka.
Shows me the right path.
Shows me the right path. And?
Long-suffering.
Long-suffering. Another word for long-suffering? It helps you hang in there.
Yeah.
Persevering.
Yeah.
Okay, brilliant. Oops. Right, Bernie the Bolt.
Hope.
Lovely. Somebody else had hope. No, that's all right. That's a double hope. Neil?
It gives us words to say.
Gives us words to say, things to pass on. Hill?
No, when to speak and when to listen.
When to speak and when to listen. Okay, it seems that for all of us, which is incredibly encouraging, the Holy Spirit is very real. Very real. And I suppose the danger is we might take it for granted, but the relationship with the Holy Spirit, we become so woven into our fabric of living that the thought of not having the Holy Spirit is really quite scary to me. Was to David as well, when he was sort of misbehaving and he said, "Don't take your Holy Spirit from me." We can share that with other people as well who may not yet know Jesus and don't therefore have the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is active at work, not just in Christians. The Holy Spirit is active in the world. That's incredibly important. The Holy Spirit is drawing people towards God who are not Christians. But we do have the Holy Spirit in a way that's very special because we've asked for the forgiveness and cleansing of Jesus and put our trust in him. The Holy Spirit is not just active out there, but for those who follow Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives. The Spirit leads me into truth. Somebody says that. So the Spirit is operative in my mind, my personality, my emotions. And the Spirit opens and illuminates the Bible. The word written, the Holy Spirit is active in helping me to understand the truth, and it is Jesus that I obey as revealed in Scripture. The Holy Spirit assures me, Jane, you are a child of God. You are beautiful, you are wonderful, I love you. Every day I just look in the mirror and say that. I'm loved by God, I'm part of the kingdom of God. The Spirit assures me, and so I pray, Abba, Father. It is the Spirit that is constantly calling me to prayer. The Spirit, the life of the kingdom of God, present in the world. We need hope in the present, and not just the future. The Holy Spirit gives me not just spiritual birth when I come to Jesus, but makes me holy. Sanctification, the work of the Holy Spirit is to make me more like Jesus, to change my moral character, the way I behave, the way I think, and my attitudes. That is a work of God, not just because I set up a resolution. This is important in itself because it makes me available to God. To be holy is to be seeking to obey God. The helper aids me and obviously you in times of inner struggle and outward conflict. He is the helper, always present. And rest and struggle are part of that relationship with the Holy Spirit. It isn't the sort of peace that the world gives. It is peace that is found through struggling to find the answer and discovering God's way forward. Peace comes from obeying the will of God. Learning to rest and to be still in God is actually learning to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Because of what Jesus has done upon the cross, we can rest and enjoy that. And that is increasingly a relief to me to know that I can enjoy the peace of God. The helper develops and supplements the gifts that I have and that you have. He takes the gifts that we have and will enable us to use them well. And the Holy Spirit will give us additional gifts so that we may speak out the word of God, so that we may encourage, so that we may offer hospitality and so on. God will give to his church all the gifts that are needed. And here, Anne's point, and I agreed with it, the helper enables us to persevere, to carry on. We can be confident that God finishes what he starts in our lives. Paul wrote that to the Philippians. I'm sure of this. I'm confident that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion, not tomorrow, not next week, but on the day of Jesus Christ. Most important in our thinking this day of Pentecost is to respond, therefore. And there is time that is allowed for that, just for a short while. Each of us has to come to a time in our life where we surrender to God, where we say that we trust the Lord Jesus for what he has done. each of us has to come to a time when we seek God's forgiveness and God's cleansing. And that is called the new birth, the work of the Holy Spirit to bring us into living relationship with God. And each of us who has believed and seeks to follow Jesus has received the Holy Spirit. You cannot be a Christian without having the Holy Spirit. And Ephesians 1:13 says that everybody who believes receives a seal. You get an engagement ring, arabon. When you believe, and it's the promise, it's the deposit, it's the guarantee that there is more to come. So every Christian has the Holy Spirit. But the work of the Holy Spirit is relationship, and the work of the Spirit continues. And Paul told the same Ephesians Christians, not just that they received the Holy Spirit when they believed, but they needed to go on being filled with the Spirit of God. Not once, not twice, but in living relationship, they needed to go on being filled with the Spirit. And Paul also spoke to the Corinthians, said, you need to drink of the Spirit. And he used these figurative terms to say that the Holy Spirit is a person. You need to take the Holy Spirit into your very being to refresh you, to equip you for the journey, to change everything about you. If you don't drink water, you will become ill, you will malfunction, you will die. And if we do not go on being filled, the same things happen. We malfunction as Christians. We dehydrate. We burn out. We begin doing things in our own strength. We resent what the church asks us to do. We feel it impinges on our lives. And so Paul says, don't try the pleasures of this world, like alcohol and other things. Don't try those to satisfy your deepest inner need. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Drink of the Spirit. The work of the Spirit is actually, as we said, when we receive a conversion, the Spirit baptizes us into the church. We become part of the church. But we still need to go on being filled with the Spirit of God. It doesn't matter what branch of the Christian church you come from, what stream or denomination, or whatever, we need to go on being filled. How? Well, simply by asking and trusting God. And don't predetermine what that's going to mean. I suggest that we will experience the increased work of God in hope and in peace and in praises and in prayer and all of these things. I would expect to see those things growing in the lives of those that are full of God's Holy Spirit, so that the gifts and the fruits of the Spirit are seen together. That's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit can't do anything different. And the Holy Spirit comes to make us more like Jesus, basically. I just read these wonderful verses that you know, and then we're just going to pray for one another, wait on one another. So Jesus says, as he teaches, and so I say to you, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. But all those who ask will receive, and those who seek will find, and the door will be open to anyone who knocks. Would any of you who are fathers give your son a snake when he asks for a fish? Certainly not. Or would you give him a scorpion when he asks for an egg? Certainly not. Bad as you are, you know how to give good things to your children. How much more then will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? I'm going to suggest, since constantly, every day, I think every day, I can't say it is every day, but I think it probably is every day, at least once, I just ask the Lord just to let me drink of his Spirit, to thank God for his forgiveness, which I know, think of my life, and then just ask God to come in and fill me. And I just suggest that that's what we do. And the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is a person, will meet us as we need to be met. We don't need to be anxious. We don't need to be afraid. We should expect to see that prayer being answered in the days and the weeks ahead. in our changed attitude to others. We've had a wonderful example. You know, the Holy Spirit won't let us get away with certain things. So make yourself comfortable. If you're too close to someone, just move a little bit apart. Let them have their blessing, you can have yours. But so just let's just be still and wait upon God. I thought we should do that on Pentecost Sunday. So let's just be still. Pray that even now you will make us clean through and through with the blood of Jesus, the life of Jesus. We just want to take you up on your wonderful promise, Jesus, that as we believe, you and the Father and the Spirit will come and make your home in us. So come and fill every room in our lives. The hidden rooms, the rooms that are on view to the public through the windows, the rooms we never go into. Come, mighty God, into our lives, our mind, into our eyes so that we may see the world differently, into our mouths so that we may know when to speak and when to be silent, into our hearing so that we may hear your voice better, Lord, and also hear the pain of the world. Lord, come not just into our mind and our spiritual senses, but into our bodies. Lord, come into our brokenness and our pain, into our inner being, that we may be the temple of the Holy Spirit, and into every cell, because in you we live and move and have our being. Lord, come into our emotions, our decision-making faculties. Lord, come into our lives, our lives at work, into our sex lives. Lord, whether we're active sexually or not, we are all sexual beings, and we pray for your presence, Lord, in our thinking and our action. May we be just temples of your Holy Spirit. Come into our movement as we go to work and talk with neighbours. Fill us, Holy Spirit, with the person of Jesus Christ. Fill us with the motives of Jesus. We wait upon you, Lord, in the stillness. Come upon us, we pray. Release us from the things that bind us, the bad habits, the addictions. Lord, set us free to serve you, to love the world. Make us anew. Make us holy and available to you. Jesus, in this moment of your presence, we pray that we may see you. We seek the work of the person of the Holy Spirit, bringing the kingdom of God into our lives. For your glory, Lord. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we thank you, Lord. And we pray that the work of your Spirit will continue in our prayer lives, in our family lives, in our friendships, in the workplace. And that we may know, because our Spirit cries out, Abba, Father, that we are the children of God. Amen. And we're going to stay in prayer and...